Worship the Lord in the fullness thereof. Good morning. Good morning. I only heard Will. Good morning. How is everybody doing? Mr. Calvin, how are you? Beautiful. You look fine. Let's see. Originally, Brandon was set to do the welcome, but I called him and told him. I woke up yesterday morning, and I had something just the story of David popped into my head as I woke up. And so I just grabbed my phone, and I'm pulling up 1 Samuel, and I'm reading, and I just start crying. And I don't even know where it came from, just out of nowhere. But I was reminded of how David pretty much knew who he was. Now, if you know the story of David, he took care of his dad's sheep and did all that. He was probably the youngest of the boys in his family. And taking care of sheep, let's just face it, it's not glamorous. I don't know if you've ever done it, but I saw a YouTube video about it. Just kidding. But so what I was reading was when he came into the camp and the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, but in actuality they really weren't fighting because the Philistines had put up Goliath, if you remember the story of David and Goliath, and Goliath was like, bring it, bring your best guy, and we could just end this, and nobody else got to die, and then we take you over. Well, the king couldn't find nobody, if you don't know the story, just a quick preface. So David was bringing something for his brothers and found out that Goliath was challenging the Israelites to a fight. And the king had put up this ransom and money and no taxes and I think his daughter and all this stuff. And David said, what's the problem? And everybody's like, dude, don't you see this guy? He's huge. He's like, dude, I kill bears and lions. Who's this? I don't know him. So David said, let me fight him. And everybody's like, especially his brothers, like, you're crazy. You are not going out there to fight this giant. You're going to die. David says, man, give me my slingshot, 3 stones. We can end this right now. And if you know how the story goes, he kills Goliath. But at no point in time did David ever doubt that he could kill that giant. Everybody else did. But David remembered, and this goes back to what Will talked about a couple weeks ago. What would Jesus do? Doing those things that when the time comes, you don't even think about it. You just do it. It's kind of like I love playing golf, and the more you practice your swing, the easier it is to hit that shot, and you don't even think about it. David killed that giant, never once doubted himself. Many of us doubt who we are daily. If you are here this morning and you doubt who you are, remember, you are a child of the living King. You were born for greatness. You are put here to be His goodness in this life. David never doubted himself, and eventually he became the king of Israel. Now, he wasn't aware that he was going to do that, but it happened. So this morning, as you go into worship, I want you to be reminded of how good you are. God believes that in you. Don't doubt yourself, where you're at, and your surroundings. So if you guys want to stand, we'll worship and be reminded in His presence.
Step, I collide with you. Words of that song like a tidal wave, God. Whenever we need you, whenever we call upon you, you're there. When we don't call upon you, God, you're there. You're there with us all the time. We thank you. We praise you.
This whole world needs. am so full of excitement this morning, and through these first two songs, I don't even know how to put it into words. Just the excitement and the fullness and the goodness that I feel. And I know later we're going to be sharing and what God has done in our lives through being this year. And I guess when we were singing, I got so excited because I started thinking about like my word for the year, what I wanted for my life, for my family, for you guys. And God's done so much more. He's done so much more. He's done so much more than that word. He's done so much. He's done so much more. And gosh, I don't even know what to say other than I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for this journey. I'm excited to do it with you. Psalm says, praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. And He keeps every promise forever. There's no expiration date on His promises for you. It says He keeps every promise, not just to the end of this year when this year's over, but He says He keeps it forever. It says He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. He opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are weighed down. He loves the godly. He protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and the widows. And He frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem. He will be your God, Eagles Way Church, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today.
You will be.
Loves us. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord with all of you because you're my family also. And today, I just want to give him all the praise that he deserves. This song is one of my favorite songs that I sing. It just says, great are you, Lord. Great is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives me life, he gives me love, and I begin to try, and it's a battle all the time, just to be thankful every day for what I have, and I'm getting there, and you can too. So this morning, just in this moment, let's praise him with everything we have in our being for this wonderful God that we serve.
Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath life. You are love. You bring light to the dark.
I just say a special thank you this morning for my stepmother, her eye. God, you heal us, Father. We praise you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good stuff. Guys, it's always amazed me. You play all kind of instruments. She was over here playing the bass. Now she's over here playing the acoustic. You just play everything? Play keyboard? Do you can? Cool. Yeah. All right, we're going to have a good time this morning. You ready? All right, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to take off, and then we're going to bring the plane down, and we're going to do some stuff together. It's going to be real exciting. At the end of the service and throughout this service, if you think about something, then particularly you want to write on one of these letters,
Maybe it's your word that you had the first of the year. Maybe you didn't have a word the first of the year and you want a word for the rest of the year. Maybe you want to change your word. I done got more down, so I may just change my word this morning and get something else this last half of the year. But whatever, I want to remind us of where this thing came from and how that God did a paradigm shift in our lives the first of the year. And we went from focusing on doing to being, because if we are being what we ought to be doing, then our doing is going to be so much more effective and so much more powerful when we come out of who we are and not coming out of trying to be who we are. You see, that was good right there. That just kind of rolled off the lips. I don't know if I can say that again, but I can't say that again. I don't know what I really said. But if you didn't get it, you missed it. But Paul one day was walking on Mars Hill, and he had all these people, and things were going on, and there was this one particular altar, and it had an inscription on it to the unknown God. And Paul was just really amazed by all that was going on. He's talking to two particular different groups of people, and he said, "You guys are just so confused about who God is." He says, "Some of you, you think he doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about nothing. He's just up there and really not involved in life at all." He says, "And some of you think he's in every single moment and every single thing, and yet you still don't understand who he is." And he went on to say, he says, "I want to give you a little insight of who this God is. Number one, he created everything. The Bible says, 'Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and ever." Amen. He's good. He created everything. He said, "I want you to know that he's got all of history under control. He's guiding all the nations. He's placing them to where they need to be. And everything that's happening is because God is in control. God didn't just create this world, give it a spin, and go off somewhere and say, 'I'll come back one day.' He said, 'I'm in this earth. I'm in this world. I'm in everything that's created. Because when you see all that's created, you see me." And so he said, "I'm everywhere and everything." He says, even some of your own poets have said that we are his offspring. And then he said, since this is true that we are his offspring, I want you to know that in him we live and we move and we have our being. Everything that we do in our life, in our moving, in our all that is, we have our being. And our being is that we have purpose, we have joy, we have life, we have existence. That's more than just saying, "I'm just here passing time. I'm here because God placed me here for divine purpose and will of his on this planet. And I'm doing what God's called me to do, and I'm being whom God called me to be." And so there's five words that God just laid on our hearts, beginning of the word, the year, and we get the word grasp out of it. And on the back of your bulletin, you have those five words. It's been on there almost all year long. And one of the words was giving. One of the words was renewing. One of the words was attending. One of the words was serving. And one of the words was praying. And when you take those five words, you get the word grasp. And if you want to grasp your true being, then become a giver, become a renewer, become an attender, become a server, and become a prayer. And if you'll do that, I assure you, you will grasp this being that God wants you to grasp. But I want to talk about giving for a moment. And I want to go back to an Old Testament story real quick. And we're not going to put scriptures on the screen. If you want to follow me, you can turn to 2 Samuel. And it's at the end of 2 Samuel, and something strange happened. This is a story that I never fully grasped. I never fully understood. But God had told David not to number his army. Don't ever number. To me, that's kind of, why wouldn't you know how many people you got? Why wouldn't you want to number your military? You know that you got X number of thousands of people over here or over there. But it's anyway, God says, "David, don't number the army." Maybe he's saying, "I don't want you to trust in your numbers." Think maybe? Don't count your money. Trust God. Don't count what you have. Trust God. He said, "Don't put your trust in horses and chariots. Put your trust in God. You got horses and chariots, but don't put your trust in them. Put your trust in God." You with me? And so David numbers Israel and his army, and then a prophet that David had named Gad, which was his prophet. In the Old Testament, there's a prophet, the priest, and the kings. And the kings always lean toward the prophet to give them insight and understanding what they needed to do. The priest was always there to offer the sacrifices for the people and keep them right with God. So how many know we need both? I need a prophet to tell me where I'm going. I need the priest to tell me where I've been and how to get out of it. Anyway, so Gad, he went to David and he said, David, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to give you three options. He said to David, number one, there shall come upon you 3 years of famine in your land. Number two, or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you, or 3 days of plague. Now, you know, when I was a kid, my daddy had come to me and says, all right, I'm going to give you three choices of punishment. Well, I'm going to say, number one, I don't want any punishment. But I would not dare let daddy choose three of the options he gave me, because I knew him, and I knew I'd made him angry enough that he was going to choose the most severe punishment that there was. But David knows there's a God who's not quite like that. There's a God who loves us more than to punish us. And so David, knowing he knows this God like that, he says, you know what? I'm going to put it in his hands. I'm going to trust his judgment because I know him. I know him. And the story goes on. And the Bible says that Gad went to David and said, I want you to go build this altar at this certain place. And so David went, and while he was going there, a man named Arunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? He said, to buy your threshing floor, David answered, so I can build an altar to the Lord that the plague on the people may be stopped. Arunah said to David, let my lord the king take whatever pleases him and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering. Here's a threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. O King Arunah gives all this to the king. Arunah also said to him, may the Lord your God accept you. But David the king replied to Arunah, no. I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Most people accepted all of that. Most people said, I'll accept it. Let me tell you how to get out of trouble sometimes. Give your way out of it. Stop trying to pray your way out and give your way out. And it's amazing sometimes how you can give your way out of a lot of circumstances and a lot of situations. And David's deciding, I'm not going to pray my way out of this thing. I'm going to pray, but I'm going to give my way out of this. I'm going to give my way out of this. And so he bought the threshing floor and the oxen. He paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there, sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered the prayer. What prayer? David didn't pray. Isn't it amazing that God looks at prayer in a whole lot different areas than we do? Sometimes you're praying, you don't even know you're praying. Matter of fact, the Bible says you can be making moans and groans and utterances that you cannot even utter, and yet their intercessions being brought up to God. You don't even know what you're saying. You can't even say the word. It's just something deep inside you that's moaning and groaning, wanting, seeing God move in your life and in your heart and in your family, in the earth, in the world. And he says, I've heard your prayer. And what he's really saying, I've seen your giving. And then the Lord stopped the plague. He stopped what he started. Why? He loves us. He loves us. All he wants to see you do sometimes, just start giving. Sometimes you just get stopped up and he says, just start giving. This thing will come to pass. This thing will come to pass. You never know what God will do. I'm walking up and down these steps and coming down because I'm really excited about something that happened to me this week. I've had knee trouble. I had a knee operation almost a year and a half ago, and I've had nothing but pain in this knee for the last year and a half. And I was walking down some cement steps the other day, and there was some moss on one, and my left leg just went straight out in front of me, just as far as it could go. It couldn't went any further. It would have ripped off. This leg went all the way back here, and I'm in a split. I couldn't put myself in that position again if I tried. I couldn't. No yoga would get me there. Nothing would. I couldn't stretch that far if I tried. It scared me so bad. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, both my knees are ripped apart. And I got up, and I haven't had any knee pain since. I'm going, oh, wow. It's amazing. Never know. And so you give your way out of some stuff. Sometimes you just give your way out of it. Just give your way out of it. Say, I ain't got. Yeah, you do. Everybody's got something to give. You got time. You got confidence. You got encouragement. You got blessings. Everybody's got something to give. Then he said the word renewing, and I'm hurrying. The first two is going to be lengthy. The next three is going to be real quick. He told them this parable: no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. Some things in your life, listen, you just need to stop.
Yes, sir.
It is not working. Stop it. Just stop it. You can't take a new patch and put on an old garment. It will tear it. Sometimes some things just need to be thrown away. My God, look in your closet. Get rid of it. You're never going to wear it again. You got more stuff than you know what to do with. Just give it away. Just give it away. Some things you just need to stop. And some things, he said, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says the old is better. I'm telling you, I don't want the old-time religion. Thank God for it, but that's not what I want today. I want what God has today. You know, we live in a world where religious people have a kind of passion for the old. Have a passion for the old. Seven last words of the church were, we never did it that way before. How many know that God's progressive and God's moving on? Change is always in the air. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the medical field has gone a long ways from where they were 20 and 30 years ago? Don't you think the church world all do the same? Trouble with the Pharisees was that their whole religious outlook of Jesus was so startling new that they simply couldn't adjust to it. I can't take this. I just never thought of it like that before, really. The mind soon loses the quality of elasticity and will not accept new ideas. Truth is always expanding, always expanding. We should always be changing. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. And it's changing. It's ongoing all the time. You'll never come to the end. It'll never, ever stop. You'll continue to change. Don't you love change?
Amen.
Then there's a word, attending. I love this story. Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, and she was there, and she said, wow. When she saw all the wisdom of Solomon, the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, listen, and the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers and burnt offerings he made at the temple, she was overwhelmed. She said, how happy your men must be. How happy your men must be. They're happy people. Why? Because they're attending to what they need to be attending to. That's what makes you happy, if you attend to the things you ought to be attending to. Sometimes we're not happy because we're attending to the wrong things. Attending to stuff don't make you happy. Then there's this word, S, serving. He said, no servant's greater than his master, no master's greater than his servant. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to be a servant. That water basin had been there. Every disciple walked in that door, and that water basin was there for somebody to pick up and serve somebody else, but nobody did it but Jesus. The one who should have been being served was the one who was serving. He said, now in essence, he said, what's wrong with you guys? Nobody sees this need. Nobody sees that somebody needs to pick up the wash basin. Nobody sees the need of washing the disciples' feet. Am I the only one who sees this? And so he washes his disciples' feet, and then he tells them, if you want to be great in this world, become a servant of all. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, I come to serve. I come to give my life a ransom, and a ransom for many. And then we end this word P, praying. Praying. Praying made up of two things, petitions and proclamations. And I'm going to tell you, you need to make more proclamations than you do petitions. Because if you make more proclamations, the petitions will be fewer and far between. Because the Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Not one request there except give me my daily bread, and that's that daily bread. Give me the word of God that makes me strong. Give me that which only gives me the hope that I need for every single day of my life. Let me forgive my debtors. Forgive my debts, and I'll forgive my debtors too. And you know how to overcome? Let me tell you the best way to overcome temptation. You want it? Don't go there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The best way not to be overcome by temptation is don't go there. Read Proverbs chapter 5 and chapter 6. Said to the young man, look at the idiot, look at the fool. He's looking down the street of the prostitute, and if he keeps looking down the street, the next thing he knows, he's going to be going down the street. And once he starts going down the street, she's going to meet him in the street. And once she meets him in the street, he's going to be burnt toast. And there's going to be an arrow that's going to pierce his liver and going to bring him to the grave and give him death. Why? Because he went down the wrong street. Just don't go down the street. If you're an alcoholic, don't go to the package store. That's not the place for you. If you got problems with this or that, then don't go where this or that is. You got problems with pornography, don't turn the computer on and don't go there. Don't go down the street. So if you want to pray, pray this. Pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I just want what you want. I just want to do what Jesus would do. I want to be who he wants me to be, because that's where true hope and true happiness reside. So today, when you're thinking about these letters, and man, I thought what I was surprised about, and you'll be probably surprised when you come up here, at least I was, when these letters are up here, they look gigantic. Don't they look? They look pretty big. It's amazing when you look down here, they're not that big. Well, there looks so big. And when you stand in a moment, and after some pastors, if you've come and you've written what you want to write on it, if a couple of pastors would just stand over here and a couple over here and just be there for people, if you want to be prayed for, you want whatever need you have in your life, you want to be spoken over, then do that. But, you know, I think what I want to do, I think I'm going to write on this period, because I want it to be a period. Period. You know what I mean? It's done. You know what I mean? But I ain't gonna just. That ain't enough. Now I asked him for more, and I didn't know what the more would be. I just want to thank him. I couldn't say thank you enough. My more ain't things. I don't care about things. I've had one of the most blessed lives anybody could have, and things just don't matter. I enjoy them, but they just don't care. Nothing mean more to me than to hear a voice. I ain't heard, hear a word I hadn't heard, see a revelation I haven't seen. Have God tell me something I've never known. That's the greatest thing can happen in my life. And I'm just going to thank him. There's going to be more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And I want you to stand with me. And I want you to just meditate for a moment. Think for a moment. You know, this wasn't some theme. It was far greater than a theme. It wasn't a whatever. It was a paradigm shift. I can't say that too much. It's a paradigm shift. Paradigm shift. Because if I'm being it, my doing is going to so far exceed. Most people's doing to be accepted. Our doing is because that's who we are. Our doing comes out of our being. And we do it because that's who we are. Not because I want to be accepted. Not because I want to be better. Not because I want you to think something special about me. It's just a natural byproduct of who I am. There's certain things that it's so good you can't change about a person. I love it. There's some things that are rebellious and stiff-necked and needs to be changed. But I'm glad there's some things about some people that I can't change and God doesn't want change. Because that's who you are. That's who God made you. It's who God called you to be. I will stand to the day I die and thank God for who I am in certain areas of my life. And I'll never change in those areas because that's how he made me. And that's what he put me here on this earth to do. And I'll do it to the day I die. I do it to the day I die. Because that's God's God put in me what he put in me. God put in you what he put in you. And let me tell you something. Change what needs to be changed and hold what needs to be held. But hold to the fact of who you are in God. Nothing more, nothing else matters more than anything but you and God and your relationship to him and what he wants to do through you. And so one by one, I don't care if you come down all at one time, you can run over this table if you want to. We'll pick it up and write your word. Write whatever you want to write on this. Something new, write it on here. God told me about a month and a half ago, I forgot even where I was. He said, I want you to rally the troops. And I said, God, how long? What do you mean rally the troops? Rally the troops. I believe this is part of rallying the troops. I believe it's part of rallying the troops, saying, hey, we're in this thing together. This is not beer, and this is all of us together. You're here. We're family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on. Just do it. Lord, we give you thanks that we know that every word, Lord, has so much more to it than just that word. And every statement has so much more to it than just a statement. And we want to thank you that what these words mean to every individual, what they mean to families. And Lord, it's even some things that people thought they never would get to. It never would happen in their life. But we know that in you, we live and move and have our being. And you placed these things in us. If you placed them in us, then they'll come about because you're that wonderful God who desires this more than we desire this. You know, we come to the place to realize that what God wants it for you more than you want it for yourself. Even as parents, we want for our kids way more than they think we want for them. They don't have a clue how much we want for them, how much more we want for them. And he says, if you being evil know how to do that, if you being evil know how to give these kind of gifts to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give to you? And so sometimes what happens in our life, we get this complex, we get this idea, we don't deserve it, we haven't done what we need to get it. I'm glad we serve a God who's not like that. I'm glad we serve a God who gave me unmerited favor. When I didn't deserve it, he gave it to me. And I still don't deserve it today, he still gives it to me because that's the God that he is. That's the God that he gives. He gives unmerited favor. And so, as you proceed this year, let the request or petition, whatever, be turned into a thanksgiving. Just go ahead and thank him now for it happening. I don't know everything that's going on, but there's something happening in the spirit. That's going to propel you. It's going to move you into a realm that you never even dreamt about. And but just be grateful. That can't be said enough to give thanks. With a grateful heart. Give thanks. Just say thank you. So, I love those two words. Just say thanks. Amen. Don't you just love it and somebody just looks at you and say thanks? You can't say it enough, but it's a big old word. It's a wonderful word. And God loves that word. Give thanks for all he's done. Father, I bless this house. I bless each family, each man and woman, boy and girl. I thank you next week as the children are coming to be with us that, Lord, that we'll just continue this and just see the rallying of the troops to happen and a unity, a bond come together that to see it fulfilled and all of our lives. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You can be seated. If you have your connection cards, hope you have filled those out. Lots of information that is on there. Gentlemen, you can begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings. Three things I want to really point out to you, though. One is that this Wednesday night there's a pool party for the kids. And I say for the kids, but they can't send the kids without parents being there. So there'll be parents there, too. So there will be hot dogs and food there. So you want to come out, be a part of that. That will be great. Also, there is cooking that we are going to be doing on the 28th of August for our community, for the police officers and their families and fire and rescue. this year we're handling the city of Griffin. Next year we're going to take on the county. So a way that we can serve and to give back to that. And the youth have a trip coming up. And last two things are, on April the 3rd is our prospective member lunch. So if you have been attending Eagles Way for any time at all and you have not become a member of Eagles Way and would like more information, ins and outs, takes about an hour and a half. We do a lunch right after the service. If you'll check that, we will follow up with you. We have child care that is provided at that time and make that happen. And then as you're leaving today, there will be a card that looks like this that the ushers will have at the back. And on the back side of it, it says Intentional Mind, A Journey to Positive Thinking. I'm sure you couldn't read that from there. But that is our School of Positive Thinking's new name. It's called Intentional Mind, A Journey to a Positive Thinking. All of the information is on the back. There'll be 6 weeks, six Wednesday nights, starting on the 10th of August through the 14th of September. And we encourage you to not only be here, because there will be new information that is given, but to take this and invite somebody to come with you. Make a difference in somebody's life by giving them the opportunity to become being who God has called them to be and changing the way that they think. So we encourage you with that. Lord, we thank you for this offering. Lord, the tithes, the offerings, the alms. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, that you continue, Father, Lord, to further to help your kingdom become what it's supposed to be in Griffin Spalding County, in this state, in this country, in this world. Thank you, Lord, for you, who you are and what you mean to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship.
Breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
Have a good day.